answer, but you know, spring's almost here. Pitchers and catchers reporting the start of Major League Baseball season officially underway, and thanks a lot to be optimistic for the Twins down in Fort Myers. Last year, just a terrible season. 99 losses. Then Kadire and Kubel gone in the offseason. There's still hope, though. And here to discuss that hope with me, Brandon Warren. He knows his stuff. He's with Fangraphs and Twinkie Town. He's also an editor for Bleacher Report. Good to have you on, Brandon.
Hey, good evening. Thanks for having me.
Brandon, thank you. Twins, what a season last year. Now, there's two schools of thought about last season. One is the school of thought that I have, which is that was just a monstrous fluke of a season with an incredible number of injuries, and you really can't place any stock as to anything that happened last year. It's basically a throwaway season. There's other people that think that was a harbinger of things to come, that it showed the crumbling farm system, and the veteran players that we have aren't really as good, even though they contributed to all those division titles in the past. What do you think? Who's more right?
It was kind of a worst-case scenario with what happened. The team was not built ideally to contend in the Central. And basically what happened was everything that could go wrong did. And the club didn't properly leverage itself in the event that players got injured. And it's really difficult to do that, to know that all that, you know, that awfulness is going to take place. And that's exactly what happened. And, you know, they didn't have backups to take the place. And a lot of rookies got a lot of playing time last year. And as a result, nearly 100 losses happened.
Personally, I think that the only silver lining to last season is that we saw a lot of the kids that were from Rochester, and we kind of got to see, it was kind of like an elongated September. We could see what they could do with some playing time in the bigs. Who do you think stands out among the players that we saw that we normally wouldn't have seen last year at that time?
There's no question that Joe Benson is going to be a good player in this league once he gets down pat, you know, to identify breaking balls and just gets a little bit of reps at the big league level. Parmalee should be an adequate big league hitter. He's not going to hit 355, not going to slug almost 600. But he could be a very good leverage piece for the Twins if Morneau isn't healthy. And then on the pitching side, I think Liam Hendricks is going to be a pretty sneaky good pitcher because doesn't give up any home runs, keeps the ERA and the walks down, and he's a classic Twins pitcher that's going to be a guy for them for quite a while, I think.
Now, the Twins are obviously going to rebound from last season. They're not going to repeat a 99-loss season.
There's no question. I currently have them pegged to win 84 games.
I'm assuming with Detroit getting Prince Fielder, I mean, the consensus would have to be that the division is Detroit's to lose at this point, right?
There's no question. Absolutely. That's a great team over in the Motor City. They've got Verlander at the top of the rotation, and then Fister, Purcello. You know, they got a pretty good rotation over there. Their pen's not too bad. Benoit and Valverde at the end. And then their offense is just going to be a bunch of bangers. They're going to hit the ball all over the ballpark. They have a big, spacious ballpark over there, and you're going to see a lot of doubles, a lot of home runs. And it's just, if they can get enough production out of the guys that aren't their superstars, yeah, there's a good chance they could win 9,500 games over there.
It's going to take a lot for them to not win the division and be a force in the American League, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's a chance. You think about the teams that are destined for greatness. You think of last year's Red Sox that crumbled down the stretch. You know, baseball is playing surfaces grass, not paper. So anytime that somebody's kind of handed something before the season, you have to be careful because it's a beautiful game, but a lot of things can happen. Because even the Twins teams that have contended in the last 10 years or so, most of them weren't expected to do anything at all. So you really still have to play the games, but it's fun to kind of predict or whatever before the season. You know, they got to be the odds-on favorite, but at the same time, there's some pretty good clubs in this division that are up and coming that could give them a good run.
Now, you said the Twins are going to win 84 this year. Actually, believe it or not, I'm not just saying this because you said 84. I was actually going to predict 85 wins for the season, and I was thinking optimistically, but do you think the Twins are a second-place team in the AL Central?
Absolutely, and I think pretty much the way it's going to have to go is they need at least two out of three to be healthy of Span, Mauer, and Morneau for it to be an above 500 season. Basically, given the range of what could happen, you're going to be plus or minus 10 wins. Now, that's a big range, obviously, but there's a lot of question marks with this team. If they are absolutely sensational, they could win 90 games, 92, 94, 95 games. If they're awful again and people are hurt, they still leverage themselves much better than they did in 2011, and they would only be about a 75-win team, I think.
You can't count out a team that has two former American League MVPs, though, that are in their still technically peak age ranges for their careers. Mauer and Morneau. There's a lot that has to happen for a team with those two players to go in the toilet, which actually is what happened last year.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to think about all the things that went wrong and what they've done to right those wrongs. The top of the order, if Denard Span is healthy, should be awesome with Span up there with Jamie Carroll and Mauer, Morneau. Willingham is going to be a perfect fit for this stadium. He pulls the ball down the line with a lot of power, so he could definitely threaten for 30 home runs. It's going to be a well-balanced lineup. It's not going to be a lineup that's going to wow you, but it could be a very consistently good lineup.
I've always been a big Denard Span fan. I was very glad that they did not trade him last year for Drew Storen from Washington. I think he's the third most important offensive player on that team behind the M&M boys.
Yeah, at least as far as the team coming from last year. Willingham is going to put a dent in that, but you have to consider how important the leadoff guy is, too, and Span needs to get on base like he did the first 2 years of his career, not like the last two. Otherwise, it could be a bit of a sputtering job up there.
You think Span's going to play center or right?
Center. They're going to go Revere, Span, Willingham, left to right.
You think Revere is a stronger arm than Denard Span? I was going to put Span in right and Revere in center because I think Revere has better range. And Span has a stronger arm. That would make sense to put Revere in center then.
Yeah, it would be ideal because Willingham's never played right field either. He's been exclusively a left fielder in the majors. But Gardenhire has the idea that he wants Span out in the center where he's comfortable. And either way, it's really a crapshoot. Those two guys can go and get it. And so you have to think about maybe, if you shade your weakest arm a little bit in left field, that would be you Revere out in left. They do have a good future in the outfield with guys like Benson and Hicks, if Hicks can ever develop. They've got some guys that'll go and get it, which is good for a rotation that doesn't strike guys out too much. So they've got a good plan. It's just that they're going to have to operate with some less than adequate defensive outfielders in the meantime. And so you'll see that with Willingham out there, like we saw with Delman Young or Jason Kubo, or if we see Ryan Domet out there, who's kind of an embarrassment with a glove no matter where he's at.
But Domet's a good enough bat that I think he could provide some depth, at least playing catcher enough games that you can have a rotation where I think Domet would play catcher sometimes, which would shift Maurer to either DH or Maurer to first, and then if Maurer goes to first, Morneau would be the DH. That would take less of a toll on the star players.
Yeah, I could see that. The other option would be to bring J.R. Tolles up and designate Drew Butera for assignment, get him off the 40-man roster and give Tolles the backup catcher spot, because you don't want Domet behind the plate too much. Ideally, he'd play first or DH. Domet's glove is pretty bad behind the plate. It doesn't play up at all. His bat, though, is pretty solid. He could be a poor man's Jason Kubel. And for 1 year and $3 million, that's a pretty good deal.
I'm actually looking at their pitching rotation, and I know from a fantasy baseball standpoint, it's rather underwhelming. But when you look at it, you have Carl Pavano, you've got Liriano, who, if his biorhythms are right, can actually be a dominant starting pitcher. And then you've got a guy who you're familiar with named Scott Baker. You've done quite a bit of research on him. Tell me what you know.
Well, what I like about Scott Baker is you have the strikeouts, you have the fly balls, and you keep the walks down. That's a recipe for success in target field. It's a recipe for success when you have guys that can go get the ball in the outfield. That hasn't been the case for the Twins of late, but he does have signs of growth as you see more strikeouts the last few years per nine innings. The walks are virtually a non-issue. And so there's a lot of projection in his game. He's heading into his age 30 season, so he's not a spring chicken by any means. But if he can stay healthy, he's the kind of guy that, I'm not a big wins guy as a sabermetrics guy, but if he won 15 to 17 games, I wouldn't be surprised at all. And he's the kind of guy that is a borderline fringe ace if he's healthy, which, again, has been a big question the last few years.
A lot of things with older pitchers nowadays, modern medicine, you find a lot of older pitchers can actually use their experience, and it benefits them a lot more than you see from pitchers from even 10, 15 years ago. And kudos, by the way, on being quoted in Baseball Nation, Rob Nyer's column had you featured in there by Scott Baker for the most underrated starting pitcher in Major League Baseball last year.
Yeah, I never get tired of people picking up my stuff like that. He did that for me when I worked for Baseball Perspectives, too, and he was an ESPN guy, and I wrote a Jim Tomei column. So I got a lot of respect for Rob Nyer. He's been really good to me in my very short journalism career.
That's awesome. Once again, kudos to you. Question about the starting rotation. Okay, we've got our top three. We've got Liriano, Pavano, and Baker. The bottom two, we have Marquis, who signed. We have Dunsing, who's in the mix. We have Nick Blackburn, who's in the mix. Who do you think takes the 4 and 5 spots?
It's going to go Blackburn, Marquis, in one order or the other. What the Twins don't like about Dunsing is that he's very, very, very susceptible to right-handed hitters. Had something like a 5-something OPS against lefties, and then righties just pounded him like, I think, 900 OPS against. So he's a little bit exposed against righties. They're going to put him down in the pen. I don't think he's going to have a Glenn Perkins-like reemergence where he's going to pick up just crazy velocity, but he's going to be a useful piece down there. If he can get lefties out regularly and then work his way back into a middle row, middle relief role where he's going to get a chance to get some righties out. He's going to be a nice bullpen arm, but he's not going to be a power reliever by any means.
You heard anything about them moving the fences in at Target Field? They always talk about that they might do that.
No, I haven't heard anything. I don't know that I'd be in favor of that because I think the Twins pitchers, I haven't studied this, probably benefit more from it than I think the hitters have a detraction from it. And basically, you know, left-handed hitters, you got to have line drive guys because it's going to be hard to get it over the fence there against the new baggie, so to speak. And you can't bring that in. That's obviously going to stay where it's at. But I don't know. I think I feel like the Twins staff gives up a lot of long fly balls that Denard Span and Ben Revere chased down that might have been out in the Metrodome. And you got to thank your lucky stars for that. And you can see it in the splits. Scott Baker, for instance, way, way better at home than he was on the road last year. And so you got to keep that benefit. If you're going to build your staff around pitchers that don't get the strikeout, but rely on guys putting the ball in play and you got to go catch it, you got to keep the fences where they are.
One thing I've noticed about the Twins, their three best hitters, at least based on last year, we're not counting Willingham, Span and the M&M boys, all three of them are line drive hitters. And I think the more wide open the space is in right field, the more that opens up at least Span for more triples, and it opens up more Noah and Mauer for more doubles.
Yeah, absolutely. And you put the ball off the fence there, too. It's not going to be caught for an out. And so that's a huge benefit, too, because you can basically play ping pong with that right field fence like they do in Fenway out in Boston there. And that's a benefit to your left-handed hitters that drive the ball and aren't too fly ball heavy. You got a guy like Mauer who's more ground balls than anything. And so you get a lot of singles. But a guy like Mauer, Morneau, and Span, yeah, good line drive hitters. And if Revere could develop into that, too, you could see his slugging percentage go up a little bit, too. And that's what he's going to need to become a more well-rounded offensive player and avoid falling into that fourth outfielder kind of role, because he just doesn't quite provide enough offense to play every day, at least in his current, you know, the way he's playing right now.
I think Revere's the real deal. I call him Little Jacques because he wears number 11. And he's all over the place. That's left-handed.
Right. Yeah, he's a great guy, too. You talk to him, he's ultra humble. He works really hard. There's no reason from a non-biased standpoint, just seeing all the work he puts in, that he can't be a productive major league regular. You just got to see him start putting a few balls in the gap and running them out, because all those singles aren't doing anything for his slugging percentage.
I know you're a big fan of Josh Willingham.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a big fan of Michael Kadire. I'm personally of the opinion Kadire was the MVP of the team last year. If it was not for his play, the Twins would have lost 105 games. And compare the two a little bit, because it's basically we traded Kadire away for Willingham. I mean, we let Kadire go. We signed Willingham for less money. But is Willingham really a better player than Kadire?
Well, the sabermetric stats would suggest, yeah, he is. But they're about the same age. I think they're about 6 weeks apart. What you get with Kadire is you got a good all-around bat, a guy that can play a few different positions, but none of them very well. He's just a very ordinary defender. With Willingham, you have a little more power. He's a big pull hitter, which will play well in left field. And he's coming from the ODOT Cole Coliseum in Oakland, which wasn't a good home run park for right-handed hitters. And he still managed to hit like 29 or 30 home runs. So that should be beneficial for him. He has been a very, very good, consistent hitter in the last few years. And the Twins managed to sign him for $10 million less over 3 years. They're going to pocket draft picks for Kadire. It was the right move for a team that really needs new blood. You know, you know what Kadire is capable of in the clubhouse, in the community, on the field, and it really hurts to let a guy that you drafted back in 1997 go away. But at the same time, you need to kind of scrub yourself from the vibes of a 99-loss season. And the Twins did well to do that. And I know that a lot of casual Twins fans, and I'm not putting you in that grouping or anything, will really be upset that he's gone, or will really feel that he's, you know, really the team is really missing him. But at the same time, they did a good job to replace him with a hitter with a little more power, and you know, maybe not as versatile, but the power and just kind of a little bit better package for the team at a much cheaper rate. And the team was really budget conscious this offseason, so it really worked out.
How is he as far as hitting the ball the other way? Because I'm worried about that they might play the shift if he's such a pull hitter.
Well, his power is to the pull side. I haven't studied the spray charts too much, but he's not so pull heavy that they're going to really exploit it.
Okay.
And at the same time, he's been in the league almost as long as Kadire has. So if the book were out on a guy like that, it'd be common knowledge. And so he's not totally one-sided, but at the same time, he's just a little more dynamic of a hitter than Kadire. just not as defensively versatile.
Okay, we're going to play a little over-under right now. You ready?
Sure.
Okay, Kyle Gibson, one pitch anywhere in the Twins organization this season, over-under.
I'll take the over, but I'm not super confident because I think worst-case scenario, they'll send him to the instructional league after the season, which wouldn't count in this. But I think there's a good chance he could pitch for Rochester by July.
He's recovered really well from the surgery?
As far as I know, he's progressing. I think he's going to pick up a baseball and throw here, you know, before too long. Yeah, I would say July or August he might be able to get on the mound.
Okay, instructional league counts, by the way, so you're going over on the one pitch.
Okay, then with instructs in play, then I'll take the over.
All right, awesome. Joe Benson with the really great hair. 200 plate appearances with the Twins.
I'm going to take the under. He still hasn't played a single game at AAA. I think he's going to spend the season at AAA via September call-up. But the outfield is full right now, and you also got to consider the club wants Trevor Plouffe to get a few at-bats out there, and they got Domet that's going to play a little bit in the outfield too, I think. I think he's going to spend the season learning how to face curveballs, refine that approach a little bit, and he's going to be a really good player when he comes up for good.
I think Trevor Plouffe could be the next Kadire because he could be the multi-position player. If he develops his power from the right side of the plate, he could be just pretty much like Kadire, playing the middle infield spots and outfield spots.
Yeah, he's a poor man's Michael Kadire. There's no doubt about that.
Roy Oswalt, over or under one appearance as a Minnesota Twin this season?
I'm going to take the under. I think that it would be a great move, and especially if Jason Marquis wasn't around, and obviously in retrospect, he maybe got too much money, got too much of a commitment. I think that Oswalt would be a good fit. I think that they're scared away by his back. I think a lot of teams are, to be honest with you. And I think he's going to end up taking some incentives. He may get like $5 million as a base with incentives up to 10 for, you know, maybe innings pitched. But I wonder if he won't end up so hard to guess at this point.
National League?
You know, if the Phillies could get rid of Joe Blanton, they could maybe sneak into the Derby again. I still couldn't rule out either the Rangers. I think the Red Sox were looking at him. Any of the usual suspects that have been looking at him, I couldn't rule any of them out. But I don't see the Twins getting in the mix.
You want to cling to some optimism, though. The longer it goes on where he's a free agent, he's going to be getting paid less money. And that is really the issue with the Twins, is the financial issue. So that alone could keep them at least theoretically in the mix for him.
Right, but he did invoke his no-trade clause to not come to Minnesota at one point, or he didn't have them on it, I believe. I could be recalling wrong, but I think when he was in Houston, the Twins were on his no-trade clause. So I'm not sure if that was procedural, like he had to pick teams or what, but I don't know if he's ultra fond of Minnesota. I guess I'm not making it up or anything, but I don't know that it would be a great fit for him. It would be a great fit for the Twins, absolutely.
It would be a great fit for him. Target Field's a great park for any pitcher.
Oh, yeah, I just mean moving to Minnesota. I don't know if he would be up for that or not.
Is he a Scott Boras guy? Because I know Scott Boras has always had problems with the Twins.
I'm not entirely sure, but I could probably find out pretty fast. Yeah, I know the Twins don't love the Boras candidates, or the clients, sorry, my words mixed up here, but he is a Barry Meister client, so I don't know how the Twins do with him, but he's not a Boras guy. So eventually they're going to have to deal with Boras, especially when you got the number two pick in the upcoming draft, because all the Boras clients are going to be the guys that are going to be pegged for the top five slots or so.
Over under on Joe Mauer's batting average. 320.
I take the over. I think he settles in about 325, 330.
He's back?
Yep. He's healthy. He has taken whatever he needed precaution-wise to be healthy. And you know what? You just chalk up last year. It's a lost season, and it's time to turn around, focus on the future, and just put 2011 in the rearview mirror.
Justin Morneau, over or under, 120 games played. Not started, but played in.
I'm going to take the under on that one. I think they're going to use the kid gloves on him at first. I think if he comes out of the gate playing two out of three games, every two out of three, that would be a good start. By the end of the season, though, I don't know where that puts you at about 100 games for the season. If he plays 100 games, the Twins should be thrilled because it means he was healthy enough and productive enough to get that time in.
I've seen the prototype of his new batting helmet. What they did was they took the material they make the black boxes and airplanes out of, and they added a couple layers of bubble wrap on the exterior of the helmet.
Oh, my goodness.
Think that should help?
It can't hurt. At this point, I don't know if anything can hurt.
Joel Zamaya, over under, 10 saves.
Under. Glenn Perkins is the next guy in the make for saves if Matt Capps falters.
That was my next question. Matt Capps, over under July 15th as the closer. Will he be the closer over under that date?
If he's not the closer, I think the Twins will find a way to trade him before then. I'll say Glenn Perkins is the closer by July 15th.
How many saves does Perkins end up with? Over under 10 saves for Perkins.
Over. I'll take the over. I'll take 15.
Okay. Awesome. Brandon, it's been a pleasure talking to you. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
You know your stuff about the Twins. It's going to be a great season, at least better than last year.
Oh, yeah. No question about it.
But you can't have a bad baseball season when it's outdoors.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. It's so much better than the Metrodome.
Absolutely. Brandon Warren, Fangraphs, Twinkie Town, which is a great website, twinkietown.com. Editor for Bleacher Report. Anything else you're working on that we need to know about?
Oh, man. I'm just trying to carve out a career, man. So I'm just working hard no matter what I do. I got my own website, brandonwarren.com, too. But don't update that as much because I got a lot of writing everywhere else. So it's a little bit of everything.
All right. I feel you about the working on the sports career thing. And hopefully we can talk again.
Absolutely.